Blog
Welcome
Talk
to
Radio.
The show. Welcome to the show. This is Jane Hoffman with Political Gravity. Iran has admitted unintentionally shooting down a Ukrainian passenger jet, which did indeed kill 176 people all on board. An investigation found that missiles fired due to human error, and President Hassan Rouhani said he described the crash as a very unforgivable mistake. The military said the jet turned towards a sensitive site belonging to Iran's Revolutionary Guard and then was mistaken for a cruise missile. Iran has previously rejected suggestions that it was to blame. The downing of the Ukrainian International Airlines PS752 on Wednesday came just hours after Iran carried out missile strikes on two air bases housing U.S. forces. The strikes were a response to the killing of senior Iranian commander Qassem Soleimani in a U.S. drone strike in Baghdad on January 3rd. Thank you, Wade and John, calling in. I did not pull you in yet. I'm playing a clip, so just give me one moment.
Paid the price. Tonight, protesters aren't chanting death to America, but our enemy is right here. Iran's security forces are responding with tear gas.
And Lindsay Hilson joins me now from the Iraqi capital, Baghdad. And Lindsay, there is more news of political change and death in the region.
Yes, this is a volatile region and often a violent region. And there was one place and one man who was frequently trying to change that, and that was Sultan Qaboos of Oman. Now, so the Sultan was 79 years old. He's had cancer for some time, and news came today that he had died. Now, he didn't often hear much about him. He was a rather quiet man, but he was a person who hosted talks between the Americans and the Iranians when they were working out the nuclear deal, the one that Donald Trump then abandoned. He's negotiated between Saudi Arabia and Iran. He's done all sorts of negotiations. The region would be a lot more volatile probably if it weren't for him. He was also a very interesting man. There's a big British base there. He was a great Anglophile. He loved opera and bagpipes. Now, he had handed over, he left an envelope saying his successor would be, because he didn't have any sons. It's the culture minister, Haitham al-Tariq. He says he's going to continue with the same foreign policy. And certainly leaders in this region, they need him.
Lindsay Hilson in Iraq. Well, just before we came on air, I spoke to Nasser Hadian from Tehran in Iran, a professor of political science at the university there. Why is there such anger?
We have to make a distinction between the incident which happened, which is understandable for many people, although very difficult, very painful, but they understand. And the way they will dealt with it in terms of presenting the truth to the population, that's where the anger comes from. So they are angry for the first kind, for the incident, they are very much upset. It's painful. But for the way it was handled, they are very angry.
Do people feel that this was deliberately misleading them?
A good portion who believe that this was deception, an intentional deception. But I think those who are a little bit older, like myself, would prefer to wait to see the results of the investigation.
So why do you think this admission has been made?
There are a number of theories here that, you know, they were forced to because they were dual nationals, because, you know, the satellites, the intelligence communities of some countries have detected it. There was not plausible deniability, thus they had to accept.
So what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to cut to the show now. I'm going to pull in the co-host. So let me get to that section. Good evening, John. How's your night going?
It's going beautiful.
Could you hear the audio okay?
Yeah, actually, I could, yes. Death to America.
Because I was downstairs in a washroom, and there's some conflicting noise. So we're going to pull Don and Wade in as well. Hi, Wade. How's it thank you for calling in. Are you in a steady spot?
Yeah, it'll be quiet here.
Oh, good. And then before I pull Don in, I want to tell you guys, basically, I want to make sure you guys heard the part about one of the, well, like, sultans dying in the government administration. And secondly, I wanted to inform you that Javad Zarif, who I follow on Twitter, their foreign policy minister in Iran, he was sorry for the crash, but he also called the U.S. military actions as U.S. adventurism and kind of indirectly blamed the U.S. for the plane crash by saying, like, they created the chaos to begin with. He didn't say it with words, but he said it in a subtle, backhanded way. And I'll pull Don in, and then I'll let people comment. Good evening, Don. Earth to Don, are you in the room?
Hello, everybody. Yes.
Hey, everybody. Don.
Hello. Hi, Wade. Hi, Jane.
Hi. So tonight's topic basically is just the incident surrounding the Ukrainian aircraft that killed 63 Canadian-Iranian nationals and a number of other people. And John has a couple theories on who might have been on that plane. So I'm going to let John start. And I'm also going to mute myself while I turn off the dryer. So go ahead, John.
Well, one thing Jane and I had talked a little bit about is that a lot of times there's operatives, there's people that work for government, CIA, Mossad, terrorists, people that are normal people to you and me. They're professors, they're teachers, they're garbage workers, and they travel back and forth. And they or maybe they're sleepers. Maybe they work 20 years quiet life, and then suddenly one day they are called upon to act. So the question is, I think it's good to wait a week or so and kind of see what comes out of this. You might find out that some of those passengers going out of Iran to Canada, and again, Canada is a basically it's under English, under British control. Trudeau, when he was sworn in, he swore his allegiance to his, Her Majesty. So a lot of international stuff travels out through that way. So there might have been people on that plane that had information that needed to be eliminated, kind of a twofer. You know, shoot down the plane, kill information or travel of information, and then you also try to make President Trump look like he's the aggressor. He created this whole problem, and so I think that's probably – there's a backstory somewhere in there probably.
Could
because
be.
Why would you shoot a civilian plane out of the air? I mean, they have intelligence, so you know, they can say what they want. The Iranian people are very pissed, mainly the college kids. They're protesting because they're saying we're innocent people and the world hates us, and you shot down a civilian plane. There's no excuse for it. You have military intelligence. You don't kill people innocent like that. And there have been protests. And, of course, you won't see that on our media. But basically, you know, kids have been shot at, tear gassed. And half the country is very mad. The other half has to follow the lead of the, you know, the caliphate.
Yeah, one thing I want to say is that segment that I played, it did show the tear gas that the government used against the students. And there was also more there was more of a like a mass grieving when that military leader died. But that was the people who are completely loyal to the government. And there was a discrepancy. Like the whole nation is outraged that they just didn't come out and admit it. Whether they supported the government or not, they're just pissed. Because a lot of people on that plane were people who had made it, you know, like they had made it through the system. They were successful Iranians who had possibly been educated there or in other countries. They were all really successful people, and it they were part of their lineage, and they were very upset. Go ahead, Don or Wade. Go ahead, somebody.
It's odd that a lot of the media seems to be trying to turn Soleimani, I don't know how to say his name right, into a hero. Like, they really seem to admire him. All these news outlets seems odd.
Well,
Don, what's your take on it?
Nobody, they don't. The Iranians don't admire anybody. They just admire their God and the people who represent God. Otherwise, they really don't admire anybody. He was not an admirable.
One of the Iranian guards, he said something like, he had a press conference, and he said that, like, God was going to strike him down for this mistake. Like, they have a very strange culture.
Right.
Well, I mean American media. I'm talking about American media.
Well, like, his comment was something, like, retroactive. Like, they're all trying to vehemently serve God, but at the same time, like, this was, even the president said it. It was an unforgivable mistake. Unforgivable.
Yeah, well, the president did an unforgivable deed, completely immoral.
But he didn't order the strikes. In fact, he called for a military trial.
I'm talking about Soleimani, but this was probably a mistake.
Well, he's not the president. He's the military guard.
Oh, the military. Well, I'm talking about the.
Talking about Rouhani, that it was reprehensible, and that he's going to call a military tribunal to sort through the matter.
Well, there's only one
Get
person.
Don, what were you doing before the show? Were you taking a nap?
No, I was eating dinner.
Okay.
All I'm saying is that. That the shooting of the plane, the downing of the plane, was by some goofballs who don't know what they're doing, and they just pressed the wrong button.
Pretty much.
And I mean, I don't think there was any probably, like John said. I think they just messed up. I mean, anything's possible. But if you give it all those possibles and probables, Donald Trump is an idiot. And he really messed up this time because he made...
Okay, well, don't talk in generalities, talk in specifics. Because saying Donald Trump's an idiot in the first 10 minutes of the show is not going to be a reflective comment on our audience.
I said... I've already given the whys he killed Soleimani, but that was what we were discussing, or the difference of our discussion early on about Rouhani. I didn't exactly know it was Rouhani that we were talking about, but I already mentioned that it was because he killed Soleimani on Iraqi soil. Those are becoming our friends. And so if we are killing people in a friendly nation, then that's really immoral. I mean, if he kills them in Iran, that's fine. If he kills them in an open territory, that's fine. But not when in our friend, that's like someone going to kill somebody who's partying in your backyard. That's not right.
Well, Don, though, if your children are house sitting at your neighbor, if your kid, we have soldiers in Iraq, and a thief who's been on parole and he's not supposed to be out of his country, he's not supposed to violate his parole by the United Nations, The whole world agreed he's not supposed to leave. It goes to a country where, by the way, they're attacking the embassy. You don't, again, we don't have intelligence, and I think that possibly you don't have intelligence when you're talking about stuff you don't know the communications.
They did. We're taking somebody.
I'm going to call Adam Schiff or Nancy Pelosi and say, by the way, I have some information here. We've got this guy that's our leading number one terrorist in the world for killing Americans. I'll repeat that for you, Don, because you love terrorism so much. The number one killer of American terrorists. And he says, we got him in our view. He's leaving the airport. What should I do? And they're like, well, we're going to schedule a meeting, and we're going to talk about it. But at the moment, we're trying to impeach you and remove you from office. Is that going to work? Seriously?
Yes.
I mean, so you would let
moral.
The guy who's going to kill your children, who is watching house next door, you're going to let him kill more people. And you're cool with that, with your kids dying, their blood. You're cool with that.
If it's against the law, which it was, it's against the law.
Well, I would like to see if someone right now go over to your house at night with a gun. I'd like to see how you react. I bet that's going to be your call. It's like, well, now we're just...
Most people call the police. They call somebody who is going to be able to assist them. They don't go...
Yes.
I mean, some people... I mean, this is... Somebody,
and who are the police
neighbor,
in Iraq? Who are the police in Iraq?
The police
are soldiers.
Soleimani, but our soldiers. Soleimani was the helping the official police of Iraq.
Who is training their police in Iraq? Could you answer
our
that?
Soldiers.
Who is training their troops? American
soldiers,
troops.
Right. Our soldiers and our soldiers should have done something about Soleimani, not a drone strike, cowardly drone strike on a tarmac of a friendly country's, you know.
So you would rather have our soldiers do a mission and die than have a drone take out the terror? Like, do you really care what the method is? You're trying to kill, and by the way, not kill 100,000 people or a million or thousands of soldiers. You're trying to kill the one guy.
Illegal.
A pinpoint precision
it's hit. Against the UN. It was against the UN. UN
Can you guys tone
it
down a bit?
I would love to, but he called the commander in chief an idiot when he actually did the most
idiot.
Sound thing.
He's a killer. He's a Satan.
Okay, let's upgrade the conversation from last week, because we've already covered this conflict. I want to read something that might put you guys in a better direction. The students that gathered to protest in the streets and social media wrote, I have an important point. It says, death to the liars, death to the dictator. They're talking about their own government. They chanted, you have no shame, shouted several men. The country's elite security force was not spared in their criticism. University crowds call the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps incompetent and the people shame. But as the protests spread throughout the capital, they had one clear target, Ayatollah Khamenei. No, that's not Khomeini from the 80s. The country's supreme leader and its commander-in-chief. So if Rouhani is the president, is the supreme leader their spiritual top leader? Do you guys know?
No.
This is Khamenei. They're thrusting their fists in the air saying, Khamenei is a murderer. His regime is obsolete. So, John, not only, they're not like Don who's just knocking Trump. These are people calling for the death of their top supreme leader. So I'm going to figure out who exactly this guy is. I think he's the spiritual, the head guy. That's
right.
Part of the spiritual elite.
He's been doing this for decades. Trump
right.
takes him out one hit, and we're calling him a bad guy. This
no,
is
we're
really,
not talking about the guy who was killed. We're not talking about the guy who was killed.
I understand it.
We're talking about the supreme
to...
leader of Iran.
Well, the thing is, with
you understand?
The people, is they're, oh, I totally understand. The fact is that the people are told to mourn. They're told to wear black. They're told to dance or cry when they, and like puppets, they do that. Now, a lot of them don't like it, but they understand the consequences. If you understand, it's just like in North Korea. A man's house is burning. He got his kids out, but he didn't take out a picture of Kim Jong-un and his father. And they're actually investigating these people. You know, that's what will happen in these kind of countries. When you don't conform to what the government wants, they video it. They watch you, and then you get arrested the next day. So a lot of these people that are protesting against the U.S. are doing it to conform. And a lot of people protesting against, they're taking their lives into their own hand. So
exactly.
I wouldn't mourn for these people the terrorists I'm talking about, that want to kill us. I really don't understand how you defend them being alive or the president taking them out. He only killed one man. He didn't kill 50,000 or spend 15 years, you know, in a war. I don't understand what's wrong with that.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. There's a word for it, but I just want to bring up one point on Ali Khamenei. He's been around since Reza Pahlavi's resignation in 1981. So what my political science professor calls what you're talking about, John, is precision bombing or precision targeting, where you're only targeting one enemy. What I'm saying is, like, let's say the United States decides to take out three areas in Iraq or Iran, and they're only targeting one leader, which they did. So you have to decide, is this proportional offense, and is the result? I'm really tired tonight, you guys. I already worked 14 hours, but Is this? It's like proportional bombing. Is the desired result of taking out Qassem Soleimani, is that going to achieve the result like we discussed briefly on the last show, or is it going to cause more havoc and general chaos in the region? Any comments?
Yeah, like I said, nothing else is going to happen. Trump is going to back down. You know, in all actuality, he should be sending bombs into Iran as we speak. But he's going to back down because he's a pussy and an idiot. And the thing is that he's two-faced. You know, he's bombing people, but he's the terrorist. And he doesn't, and no, you know, you've got 40%, 42% of the people in America that don't see that. And that's the sad thing about it. He's gone against the law on the UN. He's gone against his own United States, State Department protocol. He's gone against the Department of Defense. He's gone against everything that is moral and right in Christianity. And all these fake Christians are just, you know, one and the same, and they need to stop. They need to go home to their countries and wherever they're from, because these guys are from England and Norway and stuff. They need to go back home because they're the terrorists.
Well, Iran's response to the murder of Qassem Soleimani was casualty-free and nobody was killed, but their proxy and their subversive military groups that Soleimani ran might be a marginal or regional threat in the future. It doesn't mean nothing else is not going to happen. There's still going to be proxy wars and targets.
Right, but nothing will happen.
That's really amazing. It's amazing because we did a couple hits. We took out the leader. They reply, no one dies, although CNN reports 30 killed, but it's only from, we're hearing that from Iraq, then later on, or Iran, then they find out, that was all fake news. And then they go, well,
we had 176 people died from stupid Iranians shooting off the bombs at the wrong time. There were 10 planes that had already passed through Iranian airspace, leaving Tehran. There were 10 planes that had already gone through, and then they happened to hit that one. That was
Did you guys know that there's no civilian flights allowed to go through Tehran at this time from international sources?
I was referring to when after we took out Soleimani, then Iran fired some missiles at our base or a base in that area. No one died from it, no Americans. And so then they shoot down a plane. Now, previous to this, you have to realize that they had attacked a Saudi oil tanker, a British. They'd taken control of a British oil tanker. They shot down one of our drones. They attacked our embassy. Now, Trump, all he does is he takes out the leader, and then he says, I don't want war, no regime change. He has the big conference just after the plane crash, and he says, I want peace for them. I want them to stop the nukes and stop attacking our citizens. That's all he asks. He's not like the previous presidents who are over there in these big wars. So, again, Don, it makes no sense. No one dies of Americans.
Okay,
there's
but John, I have to bring up a point. They took out the top military leader. It would be like Iran killing General Petraeus, who's no longer in charge. But this is my point from a foreign policy standpoint. There is a leader named Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of the Hezbollah, a Shiite militia, and his political party controls much of the Lebanese government, but he said it is the American military who killed him, and it is they who will pay the price. And we will continue to target them. That his particular attitude goes down the ranks, and what he's doing is he's mobilizing a force in the Lebanese region. It's a collective basic group in the Iranian-backed militia configuration. And they're trying to exact some kind of consequence for the United States. Like, they're not just going to drop the ball. Whether it was one man or not, we still kill the most well-known military general in that country.
Well,
it would be like taking
question.
Out Patton in World War II.
Well, you posed the question. What if Pompeo was going over to Iraq to organize a terror attack on Iran and their embassy, and he got killed in that process? Now, what kind of wars? I asked
well, the
this
Secretary
question.
Of State does not do war games. He's a diplomat. I will look up the United States' top military man. It wouldn't have been
the
Pompeo, but
here's the point of my question: are we at this moment, under Trump, not under Obama or Bush or Clinton or Reagan or anyone, are we organizing terrorist attacks, or are we doing sanctions and tariffs as a money war?
Well, we did 4 to 6. We attacked them 4 days before Soleimani was killed, because that's what. That is why they went ballistic at the Baghdad embassy, because we attacked them.
We attacked them.
It wasn't just
we
attacked bases in Iraq, where we thought Iranian proxy militia was.
Do you think there'd be anything left in the Middle East if we actually were attacking over there? Seriously,
we conducted airstrikes. Before we killed Soleimani, I discussed that on the previous show.
So we're at war with Iran. That's what you're saying.
No, we're trying to take out their proxy militia groups that are damaging the Iraqi region.
And and so.
Well, we're in a proxy war too. We're just not telling our government. We do a lot of things where the government doesn't tell the public.
So I just told you that we've had 4 or 5 incidents already where they're trying to attack other countries and our own. And basically, over the last few years, we've had 2,800 airstrikes from Obama. And you're telling me that we're
forget
at war.
About
now,
Obama and political partnership.
Well, no,
we're talking about 2019 and 2020.
No, you have to be realistic. We did one drone strike and got out their leader. Obama sent 2,800 drone strikes. So how is Trump?
Yeah, and so and a lot of shit's happened in the last few months.
And Obama should be in jail.
How should he be in jail too?
Trump should be in jail.
Iran's revolutionary.
Obama should be in jail. The Clintons should be in jail. They all should be in jail.
How many people?
Starting on June 20th.
What has Shut Up done? What the fuck?
Wade hung up because he doesn't know anything about the topic anyway. I'm muting Don for a second while I finish my statement.
Okay,
so Don, you're not muted because you're in trouble. I just want to read something. Okay, so on June 20th, the Iran's Revolutionary Guard downs an American surveillance drone with a surface-to-air missile over the Strait of Hormuz. On July 19th, Iranian naval authorities capture a British oil tanker in the Strait of Hormuz and violated maritime law. On August 21st, an American military drone is shot down in Yemen, according to U.S. officials. On September 14th, two oil facilities in Saudi Arabia are targeted in drone and cruise missile attacks, which the Yemenis claim credit for. On December 27th, a barrage of missile fire hits the U.S. Iraqi K-1 base near Kirkuk, killing a U.S. defense contractor. That was by the proxy war people. On December 29th, the U.S. blames the attack that killed the defense contractor on Kataib Hezbollah, an Iranian-backed militia, in response with airstrikes that killed 25 militia fighters. So that's what I was talking about, John, and I'm going to pull John back in. Then on the 31st, which was now we have a guest caller from the 949. Isn't that California? But anyways, John, I was talking about where.
Hi there.
Hi. Can I just finish my sentence and I'll bring in the Kataib Hezbollah. Yeah, I'm sorry. The Kataib Hezbollah. They killed an America contractor with missile strikes, but then the U.S. retaliated, John. By killing 25 people in the region with our retaliatory strikes. So what I'm saying is it's not like we were just sitting around issuing sanctions. We were responding to these Iranian coordinated militia efforts. Go ahead.
Okay.
This is Jane Hoffman. I'm the owner of Political Gravity, and we have two co-hosts on the line. What's your name?
My name is Nick.
Okay, and what would you like to say tonight?
So I was thinking about this whole Iran thing here, right? And I just don't really see the threat. I just don't really see it.
From what side?
I mean, you know, like just Iran as a country, just by itself. I just don't see it. You know what I mean? I just don't see a threat.
Well,
I mean, honestly.
Besides certain...
Oh, because there was none. There is no proof that there was a threat, and that's what the whole point about it. It's merely a diversion tactic to get away from the impeachment trial. That's the reason for this whole thing.
Well, no, even then, I mean, you know, who gives a shit about Iran? Who gives a shit about Iraq? Who gives a shit about Afghanistan? Any of these countries? Fuck them. That's
well,
my
we've
foreign
been
policy.
In there 17
it's
years.
Called
and...
oil. It's called oil.
So?
The oil runs everything.
Well, if you had friends who served
runs
in the
you.
Military,
hey,
you should...
frack, yeah.
It's a pivotal part of the world.
From, you know. Bullshit. We have Alaska.
It's a pivotal part of the world.
Oil.
Well, we've
you
been occupying their
it's
territories
all
there.
All we got to do is drop a whole bunch of nuclear bombs, right? And then we'll turn it into a big parking lot that glows in the dark?
You guys,
that
I
nuclear,
you stupid as shit.
Death.
Don, I erased the call.
All right, because that nuclear death comes over to America and it kills us. But that, you know.
Well, to that point, what's the whole thing about Iran is putting together a new...
Jen, John, talk a minute. I got to text Wade. Okay? Go ahead.
Iran is working on a nuclear program. That's why we are concerned, because if they have a nuke, you know what they're going to do with it. If they shot down a plane full of civilians, you can bet they have no problem launching into Israel or into any target, including America, if they can reach it. So going back to the point, Jane, you proved the point of what I was saying. You listed all these Iranian aggressions, and then they kill a defense contractor, and we respond. We didn't do four or five incidents of going after them. They're creating the terror in that area, and we responded to it. You have to respond. But what
I agree with you, but what I was just trying to point out, I was only trying to point out one thing. We were upset about that defense contractor being killed, and we responded with action. That's all I was trying to say. It wasn't just sanctions. It was a military response, because we can't just sit around. We can't sit around letting them kill us. So it was a military strategic move.
And what I'm
nobody's killing us. These are
Don. I just read the timeline.
I know it, but it wasn't.
There was an attack in southern Baghdad that killed a U.S. contractor, and it was targeting other people.
But it wasn't necessarily Soleimani. There's no proof of that.
But it was Iranian-backed militias from those four countries Lebanon, Syria, Iran, and Iraq.
Your goofball president has not given any proof that it was Soleimani who did that.
Well,
John,
he's their number one terrorist planner, their top strategic genius. Dude, this is coming from CNN and NBC and everyone, the Pentagon and Fox and the whole world. Maybe you're the last person on the planet. Maybe your head is up your butt on this one, but I can tell you he's their number one. I hope you get this straight. He's their number one planner. Their general in charge of terrorism.
I never said that.
And
exactly.
You
want to
know why, John?
I never said
because
that he shouldn't be targeted. It's the illegality of it all. This is against the world law.
Well, actually, the world law, he's not supposed to travel in Iraq and plan terrorism. And that's what he was doing, Don. That's his job. Again, that is his job, to plan attacks. You know he's killed over 600 Americans. You know that, right? What is his job?
He hasn't killed 600,000 Americans. He's killed 600,000 people.
Can I say something?
John, I don't mind your comments, but you're talking in generalities, and you're smarter than that. So I just want to say something.
Nobody knows.
Okay,
anything.
Can
you
I bring
guys
up?
Are talking, you guys are talking bullshit. You guys don't know what the hell.
I just muted him again. Okay, a barrage of missiles. No, I have to tell you something. Nobody will let me talk. And I just paid $30 for the show. So, Don, hold on 30 seconds. I didn't get all my words out. A barrage of missile fire hits the joint U.S.-Iraqi K-1 airbase near Kirkuk, killing a U.S. contractor, wounding three soldiers from America and two Iraqi federal police officers. So it was a Soleimani-initiated attack, and it did hurt six people. Don, you're not just going to spout off and say we don't know what we're talking about, because I do know what the fuck I'm talking about.
How
unless
you
want to send me a check for, $29, which is what I just paid for the show tonight, shut the fuck up.
How do you know that was Soleimani?
I don't know if it was Soleimani, but he has organized all the major attacks in the region from the Iranian-based militia.
Is it all down here?
All right, conjecture. I just commit conjecture.
I'm not
so
saying it's conjecture, but either way, it's still an enemy force.
So Don, why was he violating UN UN law to go into Iraq? What was he doing there? And there's an embassy attack. What was he doing over there?
No, he was probably looking at the embassy attack. He was probably getting ready, prepared for the embassy attack. I'm not saying that he was the greatest guy in the world.
Do you have military intelligence?
You don't respect the law. I understand that. We can go on to another subject. You don't believe in
the law. I would like to apologize for Don for being rude.
Well, Don just said respect the law. I just told you he's violating UN law. I just told you he's in violation. He's not supposed to. And you're talking about respecting the law. But going to the point, do you have military intelligence knowing what he was planning and doing?
Yeah, but what he was planning
and
doing.
Are you in the Pentagon?
That was immoral. It's against God's law. But the bottom
to
line.
To kill innocent people, yeah. To kill Americans.
Right,
it's against
of course,
the law. It's
yeah.
Immoral.
I don't, and you don't agree with that. That's what I'm saying. You agree that he should have been killed illegally against UN law, against American State Department law, and against Department of Defense law. That's what I'm talking about. It's the law. I'm talking about the law. Everybody should be killed in his instance and as a terrorist, that which includes probably your president. He's a terrorist. He's a mob guy.
Let me give you a fact, Don. Here's a fact for you. We've had the least amount of Middle East activity militarily under Donald Trump than any president since Jimmy Carter.
Right. Well,
how
that's fine.
How does that
There's
taste in your
wrong
mouth?
With that. There's nothing wrong with You're, that.
Wait a second. You just said he's a terrorist. He's a mob guy. And I just told you he's the least interactive, aggressive president since Jimmy Carter, peace-loving, Jesus-loving Jimmy Carter. So tell me where I'm saying you're not lying.
He doesn't love God. He doesn't. I mean, right now it's about money. He doesn't give a damn about peace and love. He is about money. And money in Donald Trump's pocket. He lies all the time, every word out of his mouth. And then
who are you talking about?
We're talking about your president, the one that you love so much. And the bottom line is
I don't love him.
I love him.
The bottom line
he's a genius.
Is that what he did. This is not anything to do with Soleimani. This doesn't have anything to do with the plane going down. It has, you know, it was an Iranian plane. And it was shot down by Iranian people, but it was owned by the Russians. And so this is, you know, this is convoluted. We had Canadians dying, our friends, and everybody is talking that it's Soleimani's fault or the Iranians. You know, they made a mistake. But the bottom line,
you know,
is
what
that
I think. I know
there are illegal.
What you're trying to say is that. What you're trying to really say, Don, is that government officials across the world, whether it's Donald Trump or Rouhani, that they're all idiots. Wait, and if the people of the world just rule the world instead of inept leaders, then the world would be a safer place.
No, I'm saying that there's law. There is law. And this was against the law. I don't care who died. All these idiots can die. I don't really care. I'm a black man. Seeing people die is no big deal. We see it all the time. But the bottom line is that this was against the law. And black people have been chained for 400 years. We weren't able to read. It was against the law. We couldn't vote. It was against the law. And so now you don't go to somebody else's backyard and kill somebody with no evidence or with little evidence about something going on when it's against the law.
Well,
don't do that.
If you have a military base in another country and someone's going and planning action against your people,
that's your property. That's your property.
You can actually defend that.
Right.
The president can actually defend Americans getting killed. Did you know that? When there's a plan to kill Americans, we can kill the person.
If he was on the military base, it would be fine.
He can kill a person who's killed over 600. So 600 of our soldiers are dead. And he can't do anything about that?
Iraq did not give us permission. That's beside the point. That's collateral damage. These people signed up for that. The doggone contractor, he knew that he was going into a foreign country with military activity. He knew that. He signed up for it. So the bottom line is that's just the way it is. But all I'm saying is that it was against.
Calm down.
But you people suck. All I'm saying, you're putting words in my mouth.
Don't talk like that. You're not very diplomatic yourself.
No, not today, only because we've been through this before. And all I'm saying, and you're not listening, all I'm saying is that it was against the law. It's plain and simple as that.
We got that point, Don.
I'm
just going to tell you one thing about military. At any given point in time, if the U.S. wants to attack somewhere, they don't give a shit about the War Powers Resolution in 1973. They're going to do what they're going to do. Just like when Rick snuck behind the back of the Americans and did the arms for hostages deal. People are going to do what they want to do. They don't give a shit about the law.
That's because our government is terrorist.
I see. Well, I'm glad Don's not our president, I'll tell you that, because the next time a nuclear bomb comes over to bomb up Nevada or California or Minnesota, because, you know, they do have, well, they may not bomb it there because they do have a lot of Muslim representatives in Congress.
We bomb ourselves. Where do you think we live, John? We live in Nevada. We're the number one past nuclear testing site there is. All of our ground is radioactive. We bomb ourselves. Why are you tripping? We don't need any other bombs.
Well,
we bomb ourselves.
I'm so happy that we have the most peaceful president we've ever had in the last 50 years. That's what I'm happy about.
But he's a crook. He's being
impeached. He takes out terrorists. He doesn't leave our soldiers out there to die. He takes out one guy, and you're crying for him. That's what amazes me.
I'm not crying for the guy. I don't give a shit about the guy. I'm glad he's gone. It's just that you people have beaten the fucking shit out of black people for 400 years.
I have.
Made us conform to the law. And now we've got a president.
You guys, I'm going to end the show because I muted Don. He's very argumentative tonight. I don't like the attacks. It's not productive, and I don't want my audience hearing this crap. So what do you say, John?
Well, it is America. I think one thing to consider is there's a lot of people that share his view. And there's 48% people that voted for Hillary Clinton and 47% voted for Donald Trump. So it's split. I mean, that's, you're talking 1% out of,
Don, you know, like, I don't mind. Tonight you're very argumentative. And a lot of times you have good points, but you're just repeating yourself. And I don't really know what kind of day you had, but could you please explain yourself? Like, what kind of duress are you under that you're acting like this?
Well, he feels everyone's out to exploit black people that is
Don,
white.
You're on the air. Would you explain your behaviors, please? Because I've been dealing with clients all day that don't know any better. So I want to know where you're coming from, Don. Okay, well, I'm hanging up. Okay, John, it's just you and me now.
Is Wade around?
He hung up like 20 minutes ago. He doesn't know anything about Iran.
Oh, I see. Oh, my goodness.
And well, I didn't mute Wade. I didn't try to, like,
yeah.
Whatever. Like, but I'm sorry, John. I can't argue. Don is my friend, but I'm not going to argue with people who keep saying, like, we're nuts.
Right. Because, I mean, you have to have some basis of fact. And then you also have to support it. And, I mean, I'll hear out anyone. It's just he'll say, you know, It's like saying 1 + 1 = 50. It's like, well, no, it's actually not. I mean, you can rant on maybe things that aren't so black and white, pardon the pun. But the point is, you know, I'll say something that, and he'll say the exact opposite of what I just said with a fact. And that's pretty hard to do. That's all.
Here's my thing. It's like, I understood what you were saying. Like, you were trying to say we were precision targeting Soleimani because we probably got him in the right place at the right time, and it was productive from our military strategic standpoint to nail the bastard. But he's just screaming out, Donald Trump's an idiot. Donald Trump is this and that. He doesn't, you know, like, and then he was talking about the law, but he wasn't citing any international laws that we were violating. He didn't do his homework, and I didn't feel it was productive. Like last week, we talked about the Logan Rule of 1799 and how people thought John Kerry was violating that by meeting with Iranian officials and discussing more aspects of the Iranian deal. But like
yeah.
That conversation is productive, but not just screaming out, you know, we're wrong, because we're not wrong. I did my research tonight, and I know what happened. And I'm also very familiar with, see, the problem is that when you're just looking at government officials and how they operate and how they, whether Trump is an ass or not, like, I like to examine how he's talking and responding to these top Iranian officials. Is he trying to make any progress with them? Is he talking to them directly? Or is he only talking about them through the media? So that's the kind of stuff I want to analyze. But I'm not just going to sit here and take shit from people.
There is a back channel of communication, and they send messages to Switzerland and to their embassy. And it's been kind of a back channel for several years, and then basically they back channel it to Iran, and Iran will send some messages to us. That's come when the missile attack in retaliation for Soleimani's death.
Don, you're on the air. Go ahead,
well,
John. Finish, Don.
When they sent those missiles,
we can talk about it, Don, but let John finish.
We already knew the advanced back channels. That basically they're going to send some missiles our way as retaliation. So what we did is we cleared the base and said, get the guys out of there. And then these bombs are going to, you know, hit some certain areas. They're just going to, you know, basically kill nobody. And then that way Iran can save face a lot of their media were told, you know, behind closed doors, it's like, listen, we have to retaliate. One thing that we have to realize is it's public. In other words, if I'm the president of the United States and someone slaps me in public, now maybe you can forgive that, but the point is half the people are going to go, what a pussy. Oh, my goodness, he didn't do anything? You're going to let him do that? He spit in your face. You're going to let him do that? So governments have to respond. They have to, for their people, say, oh, they attacked us. I'm going to knock out one of their ships or, you know, a plane or a person. And so that was done, is tit for tat. And they even said, you know, we've retaliated. You know, it appeased the public, and that was it. So then someone shoots down this plane. Now that creates another incident. But the president didn't respond to any of that. So we're like, that's come the whole international community is like, boy, Iran is really screwing up here. Because Trump didn't do anything. He's just like, I want peace.
Okay,
you know,
that's fine, John, and I liked your explanation. But I want Don to be able to say something before he loses touch with us again. Don, first of all, politely speaking, do you understand why I was angry with you?
Not really.
I just thought like you were on a repetitive mantra where you were criticizing us. For example, this is an example of what I would like you to say if you're disagreeing with people. International law was possibly violated, but in the Soleimani case, the U.S. claimed it acted in self-defense to prevent imminent attacks, which is a category of action which, in fact, true, is generally seen permissible under the U.N. Charter. Now, that was the opinion of Dapo Akande, a professor of political international law at Oxford. So, like, instead of just calling people idiots, I would like for you to stand behind your opinion and give some clarification. Because
well,
you and John
have
a bipolar political relationship.
I'm not against. I don't mind, you know, you don't understand that I don't mind Soleimani being dead. I don't mind it. It's probably better off for our country and for half the world. It's a good thing. And I'm saying that. I have no problem. I agree with John. I agree with you. That, you don't understand. That's what I you know, that I can't say
okay,
anything.
It's just like you seem so argumentative. I just didn't understand what you were trying to do.
You're putting words in my mouth, and you're making assumptions that I haven't made. I'm stating a fact. The fact is that, what was that that you just said, that some congressional war act gives us the permission to kill anyone we want? You said it earlier.
The 1973 War Powers Act. Wait, let me say it again because it happened during Vietnam. The 1973 War Powers Act, or some people call it the War Powers Resolution Act, it was initiating because that was during the year that Nixon was bombing the shit out of Cambodia, and the Congress wanted to say in how to contain him. Let's say they appropriated $50 million to the Southeast Asian war. They still wanted some say on how the executive branch was monitoring that, which means that there was legislative involvement with some kind of control. Now, another issue that I wanted to point out before someone else takes a turn is the Iraqi military police reacted angrily and passed a non-binding resolution calling for U.S. troops to leave the country. The Iraqi government has called it a brazen violation of Iraqi sovereignty. So we're the ones who propped up the Iraqi and retrained all their military, and they don't want us in there either. So that's another example of
because they knew that what we did was illegal and immoral. That's why.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're going to discuss specific points of international violation, then we should bring up specific facts. And then,
for example,
Trump made a tweet a week ago Sunday that warning that the U.S. would target sites that were important to Iran and Iranian culture. Now, that's probably the biggest conflagration of things that he said. And I'll read his tweet. He said, I will target 52 Iranian sites, some at a very high level and important to Iran and the culture, and those targets in Iran itself will be hit very fast and very hard. The U.S. wants no more threats. Now, he was trying to do that to stop them from hitting us, but
why did he say 52?
Representing 52 American hostages taken by Iran many years ago. Now, to me, I would like to hear John's. I would like to hear John, and I would like John to tell me if he thinks that's vindictive, that our president is like telling Iran we're going to nail 52 of their cultural sacred sites.
Well, he actually said it with a purpose, and a lot of people didn't get it because, again, you know, they're just getting mainstream ideas. What he was telling them in code is that – what they do is they say, you can't bomb a hospital, right? You can't bomb a mosque. Where are we going to put our soldiers? Where are we going to put our ammunition? Where are we going to do our operation? Oh, we'll do it in a hospital. If you attack it, oh, my goodness. And then they'll pull out, look at all these dead babies. You kill dead babies. Well, actually, what do they do with children? Don't they strap bombs on them? Hello? What do you think they do with cultural places that are untouchable? Put some weapons in there. Put some stash in there. And you go, you know, put some uranium in there. Where are they going to look? Well, we can't look there. It's a cultural icon. So he's letting them know, I know what you're doing. Yeah, he can't attack it unless they are using it for strategic military purposes. But people don't know that, so they naturally start yelling and screaming that he's a terrorist. They did. And, you know, Pompeo said later on.
He was a terrorist. I just said it was in poor taste, but he was also maybe responding to the fact that in 2017, the United Nations passed a resolution in response to the Islamic State when they attacked certain sites, and they attacked Palmyra, I don't know how to say this, Palmyra in Syria, as well as a Taliban demolition, the Taliban demolished the Bamiyan Buddha's center in Afghanistan in 2001.
So that was the whole point.
I just don't think Trump should have framed, he shouldn't have framed his tweet saying we're going to nail, because it's against the UN law to attack cultural sites. And we don't want
to
be as low as the Islamic State.
He did that to make people think and to start doing some research. And a lot of people don't. Pompeo the next day said, we're going to abide by the laws. Like, we're going to do things by the book. So even though they walked it back, they said, listen, we're not going to bomb cultural centers. But they were also saying, we're going to abide by the law. So in other words, if you do have bombs and weapons in a hospital or a school or some kind of cultural center, we will bomb it. Yeah, we will, because you're also violating the law doing that. So we'll see how that plays out. But that's the backstory on it.
Okay, I just want to let you guys know that I am at work, and I started my second shift 3 hours ago, and I have to hang up in the next 5 minutes. If you guys want to keep going, I'll just mute myself.
Well, that was what I was saying. We can go on to another subject because we are. I mean, this is the second week that we've been on this. And I've tried to make my point last week, and it wasn't accepted. And then we've got almost a whole show of me making the same point, which is just saying that it was against the law. Whether it's good or bad or indifferent, that's fine. But it was against the law, as we know it. All right, so if you want to hang up, go to sleep at work for the night.
Well, we don't have Ben here to counter our statements. And Wade already hung up, and I think we've already done the show an hour and 8 minutes, and I think that we should just We can do our conclusions, and then we should just end the show.
All right.
That sounds good to me.
John, so why don't you start with your conclusion?
Sure. So my conclusion is, this isn't the end. This is the beginning. It's a whole process. There's still a nuclear program going on in Iran. There still are soldiers and troops there. There still are bases all over the world. You can't just shut this off. It doesn't matter what you think of the, of any decision. You have to look at the whole last 100 years, 200 years, whatever, 50 years, at least our lifetime, and look at where we're at. It's like a marriage. You know, you get married, you have relatives, they have family, they have kids. You can't just cut it all off. You have to work with what is. And what is that we're in the Middle East. And the goal from this administration is to get out of the Middle East. And that's the goal. And that's what's being worked on. But you can't do that immediately. But, again, this is just the beginning. We have to find ways to peacefully disengage and yet not have people have nuclear weapons that want to blow up the world. Now, also along that point, there's a lot of other things we didn't get to. There's a lot of things with Epstein that's coming out. There's a lot of things with the Golden Globes and Ricky Gervais, things that he said. There's a lot of things coming out to the press. They also, Google is releasing a year's worth.
We just don't have time for that tonight, though.
We won't.
I mean, you can
know,
say it in your conclusion, but I just don't have the time or the energy.
Absolutely. Jussie Smollett, Google has released or is supposed to release a year's worth of texts and emails. And this will link to a lot of political people. I mean, we're talking, you know, Kim Fox, Kamala Harris, they're talking Michelle Chen, Hillary Clinton, even maybe to Obama. So we'll see what comes out of that. But the point is, it's an ongoing drama. And I don't think this is all going to close tomorrow. There's a lot of play at work. And Iran is getting close to dealing with our president. We'll see what happens. There's a lot of saber rattling that's going on. But behind the scenes, there's also other things going on. And this will settle down, and maybe they'll start talking peace, you know, over the next 6 months. So we'll see. Until the election, you're going to see a lot of crazy stuff happen. That's my conclusion. Hold on. It ain't ending. It's just begun.
My conclusion, John, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, I'm just going to make about a 60-second conclusion. We are in the end times. The prophecy of Daniel and Revelations are coming to fruition. Like, I think it was Don who said last week that all the coalitions that are going to identify with Iran and those that oppose Western civilization, the alliances are already set. Russia, Iran, and China have a deep connection, and we're just, it's unfolding, and the end of the carnal world is going to end badly. It's going to be tragic until the second return of Christ. So that's what we have to face. It's actually 40 years too late. It should have happened already. But it's in God's timing. And no matter, I just want to make one point, though, before I end my conclusion, that no matter how a nation seems to project themselves, not all Iranians, I'll just use Iran as an example. Not all Iranians hate the United States. Not all North Koreans hate the United States. And the U.S. doesn't hate all Iranians. I had an Iranian roommate in 1982 in Mankato who came out of the Shah's regime. So we have to realize that these government conflicts, a lot of the times we're not getting the B story, and people are upset with government corruption, and they don't like how things are handled either in those countries that where you think there are no dissenters. just like I explained earlier tonight when I was reading about the Iranian protesters. So people do fight back. We just don't see it. It's not always visible. You have to look for other news sources. Actually, Al Jazeera is pretty good at showing that aspect of Middle East. But with that, I'm just going to end because I'm pretty burned out. Don, what do you have to say?
Not a lot. What is it, Matthew 7:12-15, that we'll have a leader who is basically the likes of Satan, even though he says he's a good leader, prophet. But, you know, these are things that when people are blind to see that we are there are people all over the world who want peace, and we're trying our best. And if we continue voting in people who know that the way to make money is by war and by stealing money from everybody else, you know, and it's really kind of hard to stay on the right track, as most of the people in the world want. Most people want some kind of peace. And, you know, bombing people and doing things that are illegal are not that. What I was trying to make about the point about black people is that we're in the rear end of everything. And when people are shooting and fighting and sending 3,000 more troops to war where they say they weren't, you know, that's something that we really need to look at. And us as black people,
that's
we have
one thing. That's one thing we overlooked tonight. We didn't discuss that there's actually 3,000 servicemen in Iraq, back in Iraq.
Yeah, well, no, these people are up. You know, we got a couple from our National Guard, and they were promised that they weren't going back. So, you know, we've got some lies that we have to, in history, we're going to have to stand up for and try to justify. And it really, really is sad because it could be helped if those 42% of the people would just give a little help, just a little bit of help. You know, this all started. It all started, besides 400 years ago in slavery. It all started when Obama was elected.
Okay.
And the first day, Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, you guys, I'll let you finish talking, John and Don.
I'm done.
Okay.
When Mitch McConnell said he will not.
I think it started 2,000 years ago with the birth of Christ. But anyways.
It started way before then. I mean, heck, we had Romans who were killing and eating themselves. You know, this is way before 2,000 years ago in the birth of Christ. Alrighty.
Well, maybe I don't even think they were called Romans back then. Okay, I'll see. I'm playing one of John's songs. I'll see you guys next week. Good night.
Good night. Good night, John.
Good night, John.